I have something to share that has been highly requested, highly anticipated, and now it's finally here. The workbook for the girls who desire more. I created a 90-page digital workbook that includes journal prompts, powerful worksheets, thought-provoking questions, personal development activities, and so much more that'll have you digging deeper than ever before. And it's available right now for only $29. That's right. This workbook is a $299 value, and it's all yours for only $29 at victoriaalerio.com or at the link in the show notes. So grab your dream workbook, get to work, and become your dream girl now at victoriaalerio.com.
Settling is not an option for me. Everything I desire is already mine. What if you can have it all? Because every day is for the girls.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of For the Girls. I'm your host, Victoria Alario. And today we're talking about letting go. More specifically, letting go the first time around. Not on chance number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. No, the first time someone does you wrong. We're talking about working on yourself, healing yourself, understanding yourself more, doing a little bit more self-discovery to get yourself to a place of knowing and being able to answer the question of like, why do I allow this? Why do I continue to keep people in my life who hurt me? Because here's the thing. People are constantly revealing themselves to us through their actions all the time. What they do to us, what they do to others. Like, it's not only always going to be them constantly hurting you. It's also them doing questionable things to others as well. Like, you are able to see who people are pretty early on just through having a relationship, having a friendship with them. And yes, this includes times where they do things that, you know, aren't so great to us. But as humans with feelings, emotions, empathy, doubt, insecurities, indecisiveness, and all the other things that make us human beings, we tend to look past these revelations. Like I said, people reveal themselves to us, but we see right past these revelations due to the fact that we're just people who love the people in our lives. And my thing is this: when someone shows you who they are, believe them. Please, I'm begging you, believe people the first time that they show you who they are. Believe them based on what they do, not what they say. Not what someone says they're going to do, what they actually do. When someone shows you their true colors, stop trying to repaint them. When those red flags are waving, flying high right in front of your face, you can't change them to green. You can't pull out your paint bucket and turn a red flag green. Think of it like a traffic light, okay? Let's get a little deep here, a little metaphor action here, okay? Think of it like, literally like a traffic light, you know? Red means stop. Green means go. So when you see that it's red, you must stop, not go. And if you do go on red, you're gonna get yourself in a mess. Bad things are going to happen if you go on red, whether it's a car accident, getting pulled over by the cops, getting a ticket, having those, I don't know where you guys are from, but in New York, we have cameras at every single light. So you go through that instant ticket immediately. Cop doesn't even need to be in the same zip code and you're getting a ticket. Doesn't matter. Whatever the case is, it's just a mess, right? A messy result comes because you acted as if the light was green when in reality the light was red. So you have to stop on red. Treat people's true colors the same way. Stop on red. Do not get yourself in a mess trying to see things through rose-colored glasses, trying to romanticize situations, trying to justify and find the nuance in situations. Stop trying to see things the way you want to see things and see things the way they are. When someone shows you their true colors, stop trying to repaint them. Now, the problem with girls like us, with good-hearted people, is that you expect people to think like you, to love like you, to see things the way you do. And the truth is, that's not life. Everybody is completely different. It's not to say that just because they don't think like you or love like you or act like you, that they're bad people. I don't want anyone to come on their high horse here and think I'm putting us on a pedestal and saying if they're not like you, they're a bad person. But what my point is that they don't live and love like you. So when you, the good-hearted person that you are, expect that from people, you're setting unfairly high expectations on people just to end up disappointed and hurt. You're putting them on a pedestal by putting these unfair expectations on them and then essentially knocking the pedestal right out from under their feet, and then they're going to ultimately fall down. You cannot assume that people have the same heart as you. It's going to get you in a messy place. You might be thinking like, you know, just like as you navigate through life and relationships and dating and friendships, like in your mind, you might be like, well, I don't have it in me to do this. Like, I don't have it in me to wrong people the way that they did to me or the way that they do to others. I don't have it in me to hurt people. Like, I would never intentionally hurt someone. So you think that in others, you expect that in others. And so it ultimately leaves you confused, because when you do get hurt by someone, you would have never done that to them. You would never do to others what they do to you. So that's where that confusion comes into play, which then leads to you trying to rationalize and romanticize the situation. And as a result of doing this, you ultimately end up downplaying the hurt that they caused you. Okay? So because you're like, well, you know, like you see life through this lens of like, well, I would never do that to somebody. So if it happens to you, and then you're trying to understand and you're trying to empathize, so now you're trying to rationalize and justify. So now the bigger picture, the thing that really hurts you, is getting brushed under the rug. It's getting downplayed. It's getting pushed down instead of being brought to light and brought to the surface. But pushing that down is only going to cause more hurt. It's going to cause underlying trauma and issues down the road, because now you're hiding them and shoving them and stuffing them in your subconscious rather than consciously dealing with them head on. Okay? So it's like you're taking this pain, you're taking this hurt, this heartbreak, whatever just happened, and you're now pushing it all the way down into your subconscious because you're trying, for the sake of the other person, you're trying to just like let it go. You know, you're trying to not make a big deal. You don't want to carry on. You want to keep this guy in your life. You want to keep this friend in your life. So you're just kind of pushing that hurt all the way down, and then you're carrying on. And now it's like that saying goes, you sweep it under the rug. And now it's swept under the rug, but just because you can't see it on top of the rug, you can't visually see it consciously, doesn't mean it's not there. Doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It's still under the rug. So the second that you pick that rug up, you're going to see it. It's just a matter of time until you pick the rug up. Am I like Shakespeare? No, not Shakespeare. I don't know. I was trying to think of some sort of philosopher, but I got nothing. So clearly I'm not. I'm not who I think I am, but I felt deep with that. Who is a philosopher? I can't even think of one. Whatever, let me stop embarrassing myself. My point is, it's only a matter of time until you pick that rug up, and then whatever you've been shoving under there and hiding under there will reveal itself to you, okay? So dealing with it head on and up front first, and just like getting it out of the way and cleaning up the mess, yes, that's going to hurt. It's going to be the harder choice. It's going to be really hard to deal with. It's going to be really painful. Brushing it under the rug is obviously the easier choice. But in the long run, the one that hurt the most up front, like dealing with it head on, won't hurt at all. Because by then you'll be healed from it, because you took care of it already. So in the long run, you dealt with it, you healed from it, you moved on from it, you may reflect from it because you learned lessons from it. So every now and then you still can reflect and look back at that situation and say, okay, what did I do then that I want to do, you know, differently now. And that's perfectly fine. That's perfectly fine. There's no, it's not to say that once you heal from something, you just forget about it. You know, that's not true. I could think back on times in my past that hurt me, but it just doesn't affect me at this point. Like, it doesn't weigh on me. It doesn't take a toll on me anymore. I'm able to look back and just like talk about it from like a neutral place. You know, like I could still share the story. Doesn't mean that I'm still hurt and affected. I'm just like, this is just a thing that happened in my life. That's what happens when you deal with it and take care of it from the beginning, as opposed to ignoring it now and dealing with it later. Remember this: short-term sacrifices for long-term rewards, short-term pain for long-term healing and lifelong freedom. You need to free yourself from these situations. You want to be emotionally freed from the shackles of this pain, of this situation. You want to be able to get out of it, but you're not going to get out of it by keeping it for as long as you possibly can, by letting it remain in your life and take up space in your life. You know, you have inventory of this thing, you know, in your life now that should not be there. And my question is, how long can you deal with that? How long can that keep going? How many chances are you willing to give people who wrong you until you finally crack? Because eventually it'll happen. You know, so when you brush these things under the rug and you keep the friendship or you keep the relationship, you keep the guy around, and then these things just continue to happen and, you know, you just constantly let things go. You're like, oh, that's just how they are. That's just what he does. Like, you know, you just kind of like act like you don't care. You just kind of let it go. It's going to eventually be like adding more and more like soda to a bottle until it explodes, or adding like a Mento into a bottle of Diet Coke. You know, I feel like we all used to do that when we were kids. Like, you have the big full bottle of Diet Coke, you drop a Mento in there, and the thing just fully explodes. Like, that's what it's going to be like emotionally at some point, because you shove so much pain and so much hurt in there time and time and time again. And then you eventually are going to get to a point where you can't hold all of it. You can't hold any of it anymore. It's going to become too heavy. It's going to weigh you down. There's just way too much to hold. Being real with yourself and being real with others and being honest and communicating and acknowledging the wrongdoing and the hurt up front and cutting people off and raising your standards and then learning and implementing, you know, for the future, knowing better for next time, is the only solution here to this problem, because this is a problem and every problem has a solution. You just have to figure out what the solution is. And you might think that letting things go, the easier thing, is the solution, but ultimately it's not, because it's still going to be a long-term problem. So what's the solution that just ends it all together? You know, being real, being honest. But like I said, that's the harder thing, right? So it begs the question of why. Why is that so hard? What are your limiting beliefs around love? Let's go there. Because if you had abundant beliefs around love, like there's always going to be more out there, I'll find somebody better, I don't need this in my life, you know, there's better men suited for me, love should not hurt, like love should be easy and fun and abundant. Like, if that was your mindset, then you wouldn't be in this predicament. Clearly this predicament is coming from a lack of something, a scarcity mindset, limiting beliefs that hold you back and whatnot. So why do you believe that this is what you deserve to settle for? Why do you allow yourself to deal with this? Why? Why do you allow yourself to carry this pain and hurt around time and time and time again? Every time that you say it's okay, something is okay, knowing that it's not deep down, you're lying to yourself, you're setting yourself back, and you're reversing any and all of the personal development work and, you know, all that you've done on yourself. And for what? For what reason? What is it worth? For a guy who has zero intentions with you, who just keeps in touch with you and gives you attention when it's convenient for him, or for a fake friend to keep inviting you out, even when you don't even feel comfortable in their presence. You know, like, what, this is what it's for? You're putting yourself through this pain for a guy who doesn't deserve you and a friend who's hardly even a friend at all. So going back to those reflection questions, why? Why do you believe in putting yourself in these situations? I want you to really take the time to journal about this today. I want you to really reflect. Now, you can brain dump, you know, and just like put all your feelings out there, but I also want you to answer the questions that I asked. I have them written down, so I'm going to repeat them. I want you to use them as journal prompts, you know, like I want you to actually do the work from this episode. So I'm going to read off all of the questions that I asked, and I want you to write them all down so that you can really do the like inner work and journal on this. So the first question I asked you was, how many chances are you willing to give people who wrong you until you finally crack? The next question is, why is it so hard? So that was in that was the question to like being real and being honest and communicating and cutting people off and, you know, being able to raise your standards. So in regards to all that, being honest, being real, denying, you know, people moving forward, whatever, why is that so hard? The next question was, what are your limiting beliefs around love? The next question was, why do you believe that this is what you deserve to settle for? The next question was, why do you allow yourself to deal with this? And then I also asked, like, what is it all for? Like, for, you know, a guy who has zero intentions or for a fake friend. So I want you to also reflect on that. I want you to answer that question of, like, what do I get out of doing all of this? What do I have to gain from downplaying my pain, downplaying being hurt by other people? Like, What is in it for me? What do I have to gain? What is the result here, the reward here for ignoring people's true colors and disregarding when people show me who they truly are? So get tangible with that. Like, what do you get out of it? A guy or like, you know? And then that last question was, why do you believe in putting yourself in these situations? And here's the thing. You may be like, Victoria, it's not a belief. It's not like I believe I deserve to be put in these situations. It's not that I believe I deserve to be hurt. Okay, fine. Maybe you don't have a conscious belief that you deserve to be hurt. It's that might be a little freaky, right? If you're like, yeah, I believe that like I deserve absolutely nothing, and I believe that I deserve to be tormented and tortured, and I believe that guys, you know, deserve to just shit on me and friends deserve to hate me. Like, maybe that's not your conscious belief. But there's a subconscious belief that allows you, that gives you permission to keep putting yourself in these situations. You know, there's a subconscious feeling that's giving yourself the green light, giving yourself that A-OK permission to keep ending up here. And I feel like I've been in that situation before. And what I would do is lie to myself by telling myself that I don't care about something, that it doesn't bother me. Because I think that I felt that my feelings for this person, like the one that I'm able to reflect on. I mean, I've been in this situation with like multiple people, but the one that's coming to mind is like, I believe that my feelings for this person would be worth something, when at the end of the day, like, they were worthless to him. So I don't know what I was convincing myself of. And that is the truth. They were my feelings were worthless to him because he didn't feel the same way. So why would it matter how I felt? It didn't matter how much I liked this person because they didn't like me back. So what difference did it make? It didn't make any difference on their life because they didn't feel that they owed me anything, and they didn't. The truth is that they didn't. You know, the situation I'm reflecting on is like, I guess, yeah, I always give credit where it's due. He was honest, you know, like that he just wasn't trying to like make anything serious out of this. Like it wasn't going to, you know, turn into a relationship. And there was truth there, you know, like, okay. So that's when you justify, you're like, oh, I respect that. You know, he's honest, but it doesn't mean that it hurts any less when, you know, they say, I'm going to hang out with you this day. Then that day comes around and then they don't. You know, you still, for some reason, have that delusional feeling of like getting your hopes up because, you know, okay, he's honest. He doesn't like me, but like we still, you know, hang out and hook up. No strings attached. It's okay. I'm fine with this. Blah, 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 blah. Like, and it doesn't make anything any easier or any better when they still hurt you or let you down, like despite that honesty that you give them so much credit for. You know what I mean? So I think that at that time, my self-worth and self-value was very low. And I thought that like my feelings were like, okay, well, like if I really have these feelings for somebody, like I have to do something with this. Like I have to hold on to this. Like I can't just shut my feelings off, you know? When the truth is, like, if I would have just done the work on myself, if I would have been real with myself and dug deeper into my own personal development and realized my own worth, then I would have been able to call myself out and be like, girl, what are you doing? Like, you're stressing and you're investing into someone who's not giving you anything that you need or deserve or want or desire. Like, what are you doing? But I wasn't able to give myself that reality check because I wasn't getting myself into the headspace that I needed to be in to see the truth and to grow, you know? So that's what happens when you're living with these rose-colored glasses and seeing things the way that you want to see them. That's why you start to justify. So that's why I say, like, no matter how honest a person is to you and in saying, you know, like, I hope you know, like, you know, I can't commit, whatever, like, oh, cool, like, sure, you can respect that. But that does not mean that that person, it still isn't taking advantage of you and isn't taking advantage of your feelings. Because at the end of the day, somebody, a good-hearted person, you know, could say, listen, I don't feel the same way and I really don't want to hurt you. I actually do respect you. So it's best that we don't do this. It's best that we don't talk every day. It's best that we don't hook up and hang out intimately and, you know, go out and do act romantic with each other because you're going to get hurt, you know, like, so they could have very much been honest and real to the point where you don't, you know, let yourself be so devastated and heartbroken and invested and, you know, constantly getting your hopes up over this person, hoping that maybe they change their mind because they might be saying to you, you know, I'm not really looking for commitment. But then a couple days later, you're hanging out and you're like, but everything felt so good. Like, it feels like he really likes me. Like, you know, like at the end of the day, that's also them showing you who they are. That's also them showing you their true colors. And there is a level there of that person taking advantage of you and taking your feelings, knowing the feelings that you have and running with them and knowing that they have no intentions with them. They're not going to do anything with your feelings positively. They're only going to eventually like hurt you even more because you're going to get to a point where like now you spend so much time together. You're so invested. Your feelings have grown even more. And then they go turn around and be like, but I told you I wasn't looking for commitment. You know what I mean? Where I'm going with this? So what they could have done and should have done if they were a person that you would want to keep around in your life is say, listen, we can be friends, but I cannot lead you on and hang out with you and text you all the time. Like that just would not be fair to you. I have something to share that has been highly requested, highly anticipated, and now it's finally here. The workbook for the girls who desire more. I created a 90-page digital workbook that includes journal prompts, powerful worksheets, thought-provoking questions, personal development activities, and so much more that'll have you digging deeper than ever before. And it's available right now for only $29. That's right, This workbook is a $299 value, and it's all yours for only $29 at victoriaalerio.com or at the link in the show notes. So grab your dream workbook, get to work, and become your dream girl now at victoriaalerio.com. Okay, girls, today I'm giving you the inside scoop on my favorite place to save this spring. At Ross, it's the spot to get everything you need at prices you'll love. Because when you find brand names for 20 to 60% off other retailers' prices, you'll definitely be finding your next favorite outfit and more. Trust me, you don't want to miss out on these deals on your favorite dresses and tops. And at this price, you might as well throw in a new purse or pair of shoes too. But Ross isn't just about savings. They're about giving back. This year, Ross and their customers raised over $4.1 million to support the Boys and Girls Clubs and local youth programs to help kids and families thrive. Seriously, just visit your local Ross and see for yourself. Because I know you like to keep your closet full and your costs low. So what are you waiting for? Say yes for less at your local Ross. Do you ever feel overwhelmed by hormonal changes? Well, girls, you're definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. Our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, and they all mess with our hormones. And then, of course, there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through too. Menstrual cycles, menopause, and even though it's a natural process, it doesn't make it any easier to go through. But the good news is that we don't have to suffer through any of it anymore because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. It contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens, which help the body adapt to any stressors, like all chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. So it's perfect for women who struggle with all different life-disrupting symptoms, such as PMS symptoms like irritability, moodiness, discomfort, or uncontrollable cravings, menopause symptoms such as hot flashes and night sweats, or even poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, or even occasional bloating and gas. So in other words, Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is here to make women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They made no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire order at happymammoth.com. Just use code FORTHEGIRLS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code FORTHEGIRLS for 15% off today. Okay, girls, I got a question for you all to think about. How would life be different if you developed undeniable confidence? Well, you're about to find out. Because I know you're sick of settling for the bare minimum. I know you crave more in life. So imagine how different your life would be if you had the tools to stop settling, to start raising your standards, and to start getting everything you want in life. And guess what? You can get all the tools through my Queens of Confidence coaching program. It's a self-paced, 8-module digital program that has been proven to change lives through recorded coaching videos, journal prompts and worksheets, and a community discussion board for you to ask me any questions and connect with the other members of the program too. Topics of the Queens of Confidence program include external validation, feminine energy, masculine energy, boundaries, high standards, communication skills, self-doubt, limiting beliefs, imposter syndrome, daily habits, mindful living, emotional availability, improving your relationships, understanding your needs, attracting everything you want, and yes, more. You can get instant access to the entire program right now, and best of all, you can watch and learn at your own pace because your access is granted forever. Some of the queens who have completed the program said, "It's the best investment I've ever made into myself. Vic is the best person to learn from. She's a true expert when it comes to confidence. Worth every penny, and I've taken a couple of courses where they sound rehearsed or just repeat the same cookie cutter things. Your course is the complete opposite, and your everyday examples really drive your points home. So girls, it's your time. Invest in yourself, you're worth it, and your 2.0 self will thank you for changing your life for the better. Head to victoriaalerio.com or click the link in the show notes and get the Queens of Confidence program now." So, you know, I'm giving this example in hopes that it resonates. Sorry, I have like a little something in my throat. I'm sharing this example as a means of like being as tangible as possible for those of you who will resonate and say like, wait, am I in this situation? Is this what happened to me? Like, is this what I'm dealing with? Because if it's clicking for you and if this situation is triggering a thought and making you realize something, then the answer is yes. And there's a million different examples that, you know, I can give that would fit here. But at the end of the day, you have to be able to get yourself to a point where you are able to completely walk away and realize I'm not missing out on anything, because what I want wants me back, and he does not want me back, where she or whatever the case is cannot reciprocate my feelings. So why would I continue to invest them in a place where it's just, they're sitting empty, they're worthless? That revelation and realization is only going to come from you doing the work on yourself. And that's what I did. After I really started to do the work on myself, really started to increase the value that I felt and saw in myself, increase my standards, raise, you know, my confidence, and just like my all around self-esteem, I was able to completely remove myself, not only from that situation, but in a way where I also was able to grow so much, because in the past, I found myself always having to explain, send the novels, send the long texts, and like say all this and like get it all out there. And, you know, I don't know why. I think that that came from just like an overthinking place, a feeling of like, I can't just block this person. I have to like elaborate on why and what they did wrong, and I have to make sure it's clear and blah, blah, blah. And what, by the time that this situation rolled around, like I was able to just completely walk away, go no contact, period. Like literally in any way, shape or form, no liking, no commenting, no viewing each other's stuff, no texting, no phone calls, no DMing, no replying to the stories. Because people are like, yeah, we go no contact, we haven't texted or called, but then they're like hearting each other's stuff. They're liking their stories. They're putting emojis to the stories. They're DMing, whatever. Like no likes, no social media nonsense, like full blown cold turkey, no contact. And it was the most healing thing for me, because I felt that sense of peace. I was able to remove myself and feel confident and feel good about it, because I was able to reflect about why I was letting myself deal with this beforehand, why I was settling for this beforehand. I was able to dig deep, get to the root of the issue, solve the root of the issue, and realize what I really want in life. And, you know, dig a lot deeper and get myself to a place of being like, I don't want this. Like, this is not the life that I want for myself. This is not the reality that I want for myself. I deserve better than this. I deserve happiness. I deserve peace. And so I did not feel that sense of peace until I finally went the no contact, because I was like, I know that I'm in control of what I do from here. I'm in control of what happens next. Meaning it's, I might not be in control of if they reach out to me or they try to contact me, but I am certainly in control of what I do with it. I'm certainly in control of how I respond, if I respond. And beforehand, I don't think I ever gave myself that credit. I always felt like, I guess it's what they say is like misogyny. Like it's that misogynistic thing of like me always thinking that the ball's in the man's court. You know, it's in his court. He leads the way. So he decides where this goes and how this goes. And it took time to get out of that mindset and realize, no, I want to have the agency and control over my own life. I can determine what happens from here. I can't control their actions, but I can control my own. So if I know that I deserve better, if I know that this situation is not bringing me peace and happiness, and peace and happiness is my goal, then I'm in control and I am responsible for bringing myself that peace and happiness. So now if I did hear from this person, why would I set myself 10 steps back and go right back to the situation just because they asked for it, just because they want it? No, that's not my problem. You are no longer my problem. My problem and my responsibility is my own sanity and treating myself the way that I deserve to be treated. Because if you put more value in this person's, your feelings for this person, than the value in yourself. If you value the way that you feel about them more than you value your self-worth, your self-esteem, your confidence, your peace, your happiness, and like all of that, you know, your own internal stuff, it's impossible to get out of. That's why the cycle is always going to continue. So that's why, you know, you have to work so much on yourself to get to a point where your self-worth, your self-love, your self-care, your goals, your needs, your desires, all of these things mean so much more to you than your feelings for this person. Your feelings for this person become secondary. They take a back seat. And then everything to do with yourself is in the driver's seat. You know, that's what's leading the way. Stop convincing yourself just because he's the guy that he determines where this thing goes. No. See things for what they are. Believe people when they show you who they are. Trust your instincts, trust your intuition, trust your feelings, trust the pain and trust the hurt, and acknowledge them. Stop downplaying them, stop ignoring them, act on them, and do what needs to be done to solve those problems. And do the work on yourself, answer these questions, do the journaling, do the brain dumping, and get yourself to a point where you finally, once and for all, put yourself first. And that's all that matters. What suits you, that all goes under the umbrella of putting yourself first. And what doesn't suit you has got to go. Now, with all of that being said, we have more to talk about with this exact topic through a Dear Victoria segment. For those of you who need advice from me, feel free to email me at my email is victoria.forthegirlspodcast@gmail.com. Make the subject line Dear Victoria. Tell me about your situations and scenarios that you need help on, and I will be more than happy to give you advice potentially on an upcoming episode if, you know, it fits what we have going on. So let's get right into this one. Dear Victoria, I recently started listening to the pod and I love it so much. I recently listened to your episode about situationships and I have to say it definitely helped me a lot. However, even knowing that I deserve more and require more than what I have been offered in the past, I am still for some reason hooked on a boy that I was in out of a situationship with for 2.5 years. Parentheses, embarrassing. We've all been there. I get it. As much anger, sadness, and anxiety the whole situation brought me, I kept allowing him back into my life. Finally, this past August, I told him we had to go no contact, knowing I was done with all of his bullshit. He would tell me he liked me and cared about me, but he wasn't ready for a relationship, which I knew was a lie. When I told him we had to go no contact, I secretly wanted him to realize how much he missed me and to come back into my life, which in the end did happen. However, over the few months we didn't talk, I was seeing someone who treated me much better, allowing me to realize I didn't want the other boy back. Then he FaceTimed me and I answered, and I fell back into the cycle again. Like I just said, those cycles continue when you do this. I was lying to myself saying I didn't care if he texted me, but I would still get excited seeing a notification with his name. We talked a few times but didn't see each other. He even told me he had been seeing a girl the past few months who I'm pretty sure he was dating. And I thought I was over him, but now he's still in my mind every day, even though I know I do not want to be with him. He's a completely different person now than he was when we met. He treats me horribly. I just don't know why I can't get over him. I've been focusing on self-love and growing confidence, but do you have any advice for getting over someone you're attached to? Oof. Well, let me first say this. It's toxic, right? And until you're super healed and living a very like mentally and emotionally healthy life, you're going to continue to be attracted to this toxicity. It's like candy. You know, it's like, what's the ingredient that everyone, you know, Red 40, everyone's always talking about Red 40. It's in all the candy. It's in all the chips. It's in all the whatever. And, you know, we're working on banning it in the United States. I'm pretty sure that's what's going on. Because it's terrible for you. But it's in the things that we can't resist. You know, it's anything in life. Like the worse something is for you, the more addicting it is, the better it tastes. Like I would much rather eat a donut, you know, than a sugar-free, gluten-free, flourless, cakeless donut, whatever the fuck, you know, like obviously. So it's not until you get to a place where you are super healed and healthy that you will be able to emotionally detach from toxic situations, it's an addiction. It's absolutely an addiction. I believe that there's a term for it as well. Let me figure out what this word is. Hold on. Limerence. I found it. Okay. So I'm not saying that you have this, but this is a thing, limerence. You know, you're kind of romanticizing the object of affection. You have a strong desire for reciprocation of feelings, even when the feelings might not be reciprocated. It's a very intense form of infatuation. It could feel like an emotional roller coaster with highs and lows. So I'm not saying that this is your case. Look up limerence. Maybe it is. But I've like heard so much about it where girls have emailed me asking for advice saying like I'm in limerence with someone, like, you know, and it's toxic. It's an addiction. You know, it definitely happens. My question for you, beautiful, lovely, smart young lady, is how many times are you going to read the same book expecting a different ending before you finally realize, oh, it's the same story every single time? It's the same story every single time. The book is not going to change. You know, it's the same thing every single time. But you keep rereading it. Why? How many times? It has to get to a point where you are sick of this. It has to get to a point where you are so fed up that you're just exhausted and depleted from it and emotionally drained and just mentally over it. And I don't think that you will get to that place until you give yourself like the wake-up call that you need. You literally said, he treats me horribly, but I can't get over him. It's like, get up, you know, get up. You have to allow yourself to get yourself to a point where you at least settle for the bare minimum, like not less. My point is, it's like, maybe you're not going to have the highest standards in the world where you're going to go from this guy to like, oh, I'm going to be with Prince Charming overnight. Maybe that's not the case. It's going to take a little bit more time to get there. But you're not even settling for the bare minimum. Like this is less than that. You know, this is being treated horribly. The bare minimum is someone at least being nice to you and liking you and wanting to be with you. It's like, okay, let's at least start there. You know, like the bare minimum is like, okay, he likes me. He hangs out with me. He wants to be with me. That's the bare minimum. Then everything from there is extras. You know, that's like the other stuff, like the kind of effort he puts in and all that stuff. But you're not even at the bare minimum because this guy treats you horribly. He doesn't even like or respect you. Respect is at least the bare minimum. And what I want you to do, I want you to write down what your bare minimum is. And you cannot accept, settle for, deal with, think about, be emotionally invested in anything less than your absolute bare minimum. I could already tell you without even having that much context that he doesn't even reach the bare minimum, which means off the bat, you'll already, like, once you put that pen to paper and you start like realizing things, you'll already be able to start to see this from the perspective of like, okay, if I can't even get respect from this person, I need to at least respect myself enough to get over it, you know? So I want you to at least know what your bare minimum is. This way you take that knowledge moving forward and you, you know, into your further dating experiences, you don't deal with, you don't settle for anything less than this stuff. And then of course, as you keep working on yourself, you're going to like grow and grow and grow from there. But you got to start from first base. You know, you gotta like, let's get off home plate and let's get to at least first base. And then, you know, you can work your way around the bases. But with all that being said, you're talking about like, how do you get over someone that you're attached to? Firstly, is admitting that there is that toxic addiction there. Like just at least knowing in black and white, like maybe these aren't even real genuine feelings. Maybe it's just an addiction to the toxicity. Maybe I just enjoy this, the highs and lows, like I mentioned with that limerence thing. It's just like, you know, maybe I'm getting a rise out of this, you know, like it does feel addicting. It feels like doing the thing that you shouldn't do. Like it feels naughty. It feels fun. It feels exciting. And sometimes, you know, that exciting thing is what you keep going back to simply because you at least feel something. It's better to feel something than to feel nothing. So that's at least the first thing. But the second thing is you have to allow yourself to detach from this, remove your energy from this, and put that energy into something else. So whatever energy that you have continued to invest into this, answering the FaceTimes, acknowledging the texting, whatever it is, looking through stuff on social media, you have to put it into something else. You have to replace this with something, you know, like I think that you'll feel that emptiness. You'll feel that it's missing if you just simply do the no contact and you just like pretend that it's not there. Like I mentioned before, the sweeping it under the rug. Don't sweep it under the rug. Acknowledge it, cut it off, end it, be honest, remove yourself from it. All the advice that I gave in the first part like clearly goes to you too. So I don't need to repeat all that. Everything that I said before, you're going to do all of that. And then you're going to take that energy and instead of doing nothing with it, do something with it. Apply it to anything else in life. Whatever can bring you that feeling, you know, of like being into something, doing something, something positive though, that fuels you. I'm not saying take your energy away from him and put it into another guy. No, it's just like whatever feels good, invest your time, you know, there instead. And I want to go back to the whole like being addicted to like the toxic thing, because I mentioned how people love the feeling of like just doing something, like it's more exciting. It's better than doing nothing. You also have to realize that with maturity and with peace comes the feeling of nothingness and stillness, which may be confused for being bored. And it's not. Well, I mean, it's not to say that it's not, because yeah, there will be times where you are bored. But that boringness is really just a matter of having peace in your life. It doesn't mean, oh, my life is so boring. I need a thrill. So I need a guy to come in and treat me horribly. It's just, oh, I don't have drama. I don't have chaos. I don't have nonsense. I'm not being walked all over like a welcome mat. I'm not being treated like shit. Oh, this is what peace feels like. So there is going to be that stillness. There is going to be that solitude, you know, and I think it's important, you know, to have that in your life as, you know, maturity, you have maturity in it. I feel like, you know, when you're single and dating and meeting guys and whatever, like it's always that fun and there's always something going on and you're dealing with this guy, then you're dealing with that guy, then there's the drama, then there's the highs and there's the lows. And then you get into a relationship, an actually healthy relationship. And you don't really have those highs and lows because for the most part, things are just neutral. You will have highs and you will have lows as a result of just like life. Shit happens. But, you know, a healthy relationship isn't going to be hot and cold every other week and highs and lows every other week. It's going to just be normal and you're just going to face life together. And so for the most part, there's going to be a lot of nothingness of just how was work today, you know, like how was your day, like whatever it is, like that's gonna happen. So you have to be mature enough to be in a relationship like that. But when you're so addicted to the unhealthy behaviors and patterns, it's gonna take you a really long time to get into a healthy relationship. So not only do you want to work on all of this for yourself, obviously first and foremost for yourself, but also for your future partner. You want to be your dream partner's dream partner. Think about who your dream partner is with your raised standards and all of that. Are you his dream partner? Are you that girl too? You know, or can you be that for him? You want to heal yourself for yourself, but also for your future life and for your future partner, because becoming your dream woman is ultimately becoming his dream woman too. And not his, the guy you're talking about, his as in your dream man. Becoming your dream self and your dream woman is ultimately putting you into the shoes of becoming your dream man's dream woman. You know what I mean? So you have to think of it like that, of like, what am I doing? Like, this guy is clearly not my guy. This guy is clearly not my husband. My husband would never, you know, I wouldn't be in this situation with my husband. So I want to prepare myself for my husband. I need to detach myself from this and get myself ready for the next best thing. Let me at least figure out what the bare minimum is. Let me do the work on myself. And then I could start to raise my standards from there. But you gotta cut this off and you gotta put yourself in control of the situation. You have to be able to say, I decide what comes next. He might call me, I'm not answering. He might text me, I'm not answering. He might ask me why I'm not answering, so then I'm gonna block him so that he can leave me the motherfuck alone because I'm not dealing with this shit anymore. Boom. And you know what? I just thought of this. I can't believe I saved this all the way for the end. I had this one in my back pocket. It just hit me. I used to say this all the time. I've said it on TikTok. I've said it in older podcast episodes. I don't know if I have. Let me see if I have a podcast episode about this. Hold on. Okay. I have a Flashback Friday episode from September 27th, 2024. So it's called Flashback Friday, Gaining Your Power and Getting Over Him. You need to listen to that episode. Okay, you need to listen to that episode. I think in that episode, I say what I'm about to say right now, but if I don't, I still know that it is a good one. So September 2024, Gaining Your Power Back and Getting Over Him. And then also this Friday that just passed, March 14th, I put out a Flashback Friday episode. It's called Flashback Friday, Don't Get Sad, Get the Ick, Disinterest is Unattractive. March 14th, 2025, Flashback Friday. Listen to that one as well. So I want you girls to listen to both of those Flashback Friday episodes because I really, really dig in here. But in any case, what I'm going to leave you with is this. This is a question that I believe will help any girl get over any guy that treats them horribly. And it is, if you were not physically or romantically attracted to this man, would you be friends with him based on how he treats you? And the answer is fucking no. He treats you horribly. Whatever else, like all the other things that she already said and other things that I don't even have context on. I don't even need the context because you literally said he treats me horribly. So that's all I need to know. So if this person treats you horribly, would you be friends with him? Would you be platonic friends? Is this someone that you would choose to hang out with, to spend your time with just as a friend? If you were not physically or romantically attracted to him? No. So why would you want to be in a relationship with him? Why would you want something from this person when your boyfriend, your husband, your romantic partner is supposed to be your best friend? I can't go a day without my fiance. Like, he is my best friend. My best friend. And if we were not best friends, I would be so unfulfilled and so unhappy and so alone in my relationship. It is a prerequisite. In order to be in a romantic relationship, you have to be best friends. I truly believe that and I feel that. When I hear a girl say, like, my man is not my best friend, I'm like, what? Like, what? To me, it's a requirement, okay? We are not just partners. We're not just, you know, fiancés, we are best fucking friends. We tell each other everything. We talk about everything. We laugh nonstop. Everybody laughs at how much we laugh together because I will say I make him laugh more than he makes me laugh. But I laugh because I made him laugh. So we're always laughing. Like, he treats me, like, we treat each other amazingly. Like, we do anything and everything for each other. We treat each other. So he has high standards. I have high standards. Like, we treat each other like a king and a fucking queen. Okay. So if I was not physically or romantically attracted to him, we would be best friends. I would be his best friend 1,000,000%. I mean, not after all this. If he left me after planning on marrying me, then no, we would not be fucking friends because I would absolutely hate him. But if it was, if we met beforehand, like, if we met under not romantic or physically attracted situations, like, we would 100% be best friends. 100%. So that begs the question. If you were not physically or romantically attracted to this man, would he be your best friend? Would you be friends with him? Fuck no. Because he sucks. He sucks. Okay? I'm going to leave you with that. For those of you listening, like I said, if you need any advice from me to potentially be used on an upcoming episode of For the Girls, email me, victoria.forthegirlspodcast@gmail.com. Make the subject line, Dear Victoria. And also, while you're here, please be sure to leave a rating and review. It helps the show so much. I need reviews. I haven't had reviews in a while. If you're listening or watching on Spotify, you can rate the show 5 stars. You can leave a comment on this specific episode. It'll, you know, ask you what you think about the episode. Let me know there. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, you can leave 5 stars and a review at the bottom of my podcast page. If you're watching on YouTube, be sure to like, comment, subscribe. If you're not following me on social media, please be sure to follow me there. I've been sharing a lot about my bridal journey. I have all the TikToks and the Instagram. I just posted our sick engagement photos. They're absolutely stunning. Would love you girls to see them. Everything is on my Instagram, victoria.alario, linked in the show notes. My podcast, same thing, victoria.alario, but that will not be my username for that much longer because I am going to change my name when I get married. But yeah, okay, that's it. I'm done rambling and ranting now. Have an amazing, amazing, amazing day. Thank you girls so much for listening. Until next time, girls. I have something to share that has been highly requested, highly anticipated, and now it's finally here. The workbook for the girls who desire more. I created a 90-page digital workbook that includes journal prompts, powerful worksheets, thought-provoking questions, personal development activities, and so much more that'll have you digging deeper than ever before. And it's available right now for only $29. That's right. This workbook is a $299 value, and it's all yours for only $29 at victoriaalario.com or at the link in the show notes. So grab your dream workbook, get to work, and become your dream girl now at victoriaalario.com.